Hi, Dan.
Hi, Jason.
Things are happening.
Oh, what? No one told me.
I'm sorry, Dan. I have to let you go.
Oh, okay.
To on vacation for the weekend.
Yeah. Woohoo!
That
really took a turn.
It did.
For the better.
I surprised you there. No, things are happening in that Apple put out a bunch of press releases. Well, a bunch. Apple is doing tap to pay.
More taps, more paying.
And it's funny because I think a lot of us were so worn down by Apple's continued, like we've talked about here several times, continued kind of, we're going to take every penny and we're going to use every platform advantage, to assumed that if they did this thing to accept payments on an iPhone, not just make payments from an iPhone, that they would do it to, you know, in a way that benefited their business directly and competed with things like Square. That didn't happen, and perhaps that was also them reading the room, realizing it was a business they didn't need to build and that there were partners there. So apparently you're going to be able to do tap to pay, but it's going to work with partners. And so it sounds like it will be more compatible than we thought it might be.
There are some interesting questions here in the implementation that I don't think are really addressed in their press release. I mean, we'll have to wait to see what the tech looks like, and I believe it's in the latest betas, and that was probably part of the reason that they put a press release out, was like, well, people are going to find it.
That'll get it announced.
But the things that struck me as interesting, so first of all, it accepts not only Apple Pay, but also contactless cards. So
yes.
If you have a credit card with a contactless chip, I mean, it uses NFC, right?
Yeah,
my understanding is, if you accept an NFC payment, you accept pretty much any NFC payment.
I believe so.
That it should work equally well with the like Samsung's and Google's payment.
I think so.
Contactless payment. Like, and why would you not, right? Like, that would be so annoying
just
if
take,
they're like,
that's
so
right.
You can pay here, pay on my phone. Oh, wait, I'm sorry, no. You have an Android phone? No.
Yeah, if you ever want anybody to use it again.
It's got to be standardized.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's good. Another interesting aspect of it potentially is, and I mentioned this when I just sort of wrote up a couple notes on that press release. This is an area where Apple has gotten threatened with regulation. There is, I believe, an ongoing antitrust investigation in the EU about Apple sort of locking down aspects of the NFC chip for Apple Pay. Now, this doesn't 100% like kind of address that, because the part of the issue there was other apps can't use the NFC chip to make payments. Like if you had a digital wallet with like, you know, in Square or something, you couldn't necessarily tap to pay using the Square app. You still had to go through Apple Pay.
Right.
So it doesn't seem like this is going to change
that. No, I don't think so.
It seems like this is purely on the receiving side.
This is just for
receiving,
yeah.
Which is fascinating though, because I just end up wondering like, are they going to try to pull a fast one on those antitrust regulators and be like, yeah, like, look, we opened up our NFC framework, and they're like, wait a second. I don't know. But I thought that was really interesting, because I think you're right that there is a reading the room angle where they're like, well, we can't just make this for Apple Pay.
Yeah, and also I think maybe feeding into that, and there are probably multiple inputs here, is the idea that there's Apple, how much of stuff does Apple have to go its own way on? And if you look at this, you're like, you know, you guys are basically going to have to rebuild Square or Stripe or, you know, some aspect of this.
Right.
And
sure.
Maybe you don't want to do that. Maybe you just want to use the partners and that's enough. And you know, and maybe they're, I don't know, are they taking their cut from it at some point in some way?
Probably somewhere along the way,
but it's good for the iPhone, which is good. It is not like if this had happened 5 years ago, it would have been a bigger deal, especially in the U.S. Yeah. And we should say we're in the U.S. and we hear from people who are like, well, why don't you talk more about other parts of the world? And the answer is we don't live in those parts.
And these days we don't travel to those parts.
And we don't travel to those parts. That's right. But it used to be that a lot of things you would pay for out in the world at places that were a little less established was a Square reader stuck into an iPhone.
Yep.
And the truth is that even in the U.S., most of that has been replaced either by a kiosk system where you stick an iPad in a kiosk, or by a kiosk that's based on something else, but it is a kiosk for this sort of thing. And they're cellular connected, and they're probably running Android, and they've got NFC readers, and they got card readers, and they're all fancy. Yeah. However, There's a. It's Friday, so there is probably 200 yards from me right now a farmer's market going on. Mm-hmm. And that is the kind of place where I think, you know, it's that sort of thing. Places that used to only take cash, and that's really inconvenient in the modern world to only take cash because some people don't carry cash, or you're losing purchases because you don't have enough cash. And that's the kind of thing where I think, you know, I still see those little readers, and I think,
yeah, right.
I think the guy who sharpens the knives, and the people selling bread, and the people selling strawberries, they may have enough of it together for a terminal, but starting out they probably don't. And wouldn't it be nice if they could just load it on their iPhone and not have to worry about it?
Right. And a terminal sometimes requires other stuff, like if you've got one of those add-ons or whatever, it's big, it's bulky. You might carrying it back and forth to a farmer's market isn't convenient. As you were talking about this, Jason, I thought of another great place where this would actually come up. I go to a decent number of science fiction conventions at which
yes.
there are dealers' rooms and people sell things, and yeah, you can do a, you know, like a little reader or something like that. But it is, again, you're not seeing people lugging their POS terminals to conventions because it's a pain.
Oh, yeah. And I bought art at San Diego Comic-Con one year, and it was the same. I didn't have the cash because the art cost too much money, more than I expected to pay. But I found something that I never expected to find, and I was really excited by it. And you know, what ended up happening is that I had to log into PayPal and put in their PayPal, and then they had to log into their PayPal and see right. that it had come. And then they're like, okay, now we can do this transaction. And that's dumb. But that's a great example. An artist who's signing things, if you have
yep.
books to sell
yep.
at
exactly
the at the
thinking.
Convention, you're not going to get a terminal.
No,
but you can say,
not.
You can buy it right here. Just tap your card or your Apple Pay or whatever right on my phone. And yep. bling, Dan Morin Productions has no, right. charged you whatever.
And it's you don't have to worry. In the same way that people are very comfortable using Apple Pay for merchant payments at their grocery stores and wherever else these days, I think the fact that it's built into iOS provides a degree of assurance and comfort for people paying for those things, right? Because you know now, or at least once this rolls out and people get sort of acclimated to it, they'll know like, oh, you know, this is the same. It's secured. It's by Apple, et cetera. Like, you know, there's a trust inherent in it in the same way that people trust when they tap their phone at the grocery store or what have you, that like everything's on the up and up. So I think that's a really smart move. It does also raise the question, and I mentioned this as well in my piece, this specifically iPhones, right? Which is fascinating to me. Obviously, iPads to date really haven't had NFC chips. There have been a couple where they're like, they're not active, basically.
Yeah, the part that they bought had NFC on it, but they didn't want it, so they just left it
right.
inactive. It's generally yeah. not a, they thought they were going to do it. It's more like, they got a part.
We got it for free.
That had it.
We got this
on
thrown
it.
In, and all of a sudden, you know, we were like, oh. I guess we could. I guess we should just use.
Yeah.
This
well, somebody
this
takes
guy.
A part and says that chip has NFC on it, and,
right.
and it's like, yeah, but it's
yeah,
not
so,
on.
So,
who cares?
But there is the rumor of an iPad refresh
yeah.
in the next couple weeks. So here's a question. I mean, like, Apple surely would love to be able to say, like, hey, you got your iPad, and right out of the box, just download your software, and you've got a point of sale terminal.
I think
feels like potentially compelling.
Yeah. Well, I think the reason the iPad hasn't had NFC up till now is that they look at the who's going to bring their iPad somewhere and tap to
right.
pay. And I know there are people who have been saying all along, me, I would do that. But the truth is, it's a bad use case that would be, it's not worth it. It's not worth the
sure.
trouble.
Yeah,
this
right.
is a good use case. It is,
exactly.
I think, worth the trouble.
Yeah, I agree. So I think it'd be most compelling, and I don't know that they have any plans to do this immediately, but I think it would be most compelling on that entry-level iPad because that device makes perfect sense for a payment terminal right out of the box, right? $330, you got yourself a payment terminal, just download the software you need, and you're good to go. The iPad Air, possibly, but it's also like, well, now you're talking about a $500 device,
right.
and do you really want to, you know, use that just as a payment terminal or a kiosk or whatever? It seems maybe like it's
a
little overkill.
Yeah.
Maybe, but I think it would be, the sweet spot would really be that $330 model, I believe, but we'll see what happens because if, you know, they might decide just to cross the line, like, hey, we'll put an NFC chip in all these things because if not this, maybe something else will prove to be a useful, you know, this will be useful for that. But who knows? So I'm intrigued by this. I think it's a cool announcement. The one thing that is not in here that I'm, I won't say I'm surprised, but that I'm bummed a little bit about is that this is purely aimed at merchants and like selling things, right? It's not a you go out to the movies or to the bar with your friends and you split some dinner or whatever, and it's like, oh, I just want to tap to pay you like my $10.
Right,
worth.
Right.
That's still Apple Cash.
Yeah, or one of the many alternatives
Venmo
that are out
or PayPal
there.
PayPal or
which,
whatever, right.
There was a good, it was on Connected this week where Federico brought his European knowledge to the table, which I like. And he said, and Mike brought his almost European English knowledge to the table.
Formerly European knowledge.
It was good. It's funny. I almost categorized Mike as an American there because he's so much more American now. But they both basically informed Steven that the reason Apple Pay Cash doesn't exist in the rest of the world is probably mostly because they already have easy ways of transferring money from their banks to other people for no fee. Whereas
right.
the U.S. banking system is so outmoded that they basically built... Like, even the banks, you're like, oh, well, it's the banks standing in the way. It's like, no, the banks had to build Zelle. The banks had to build a separate service to do this because they couldn't even figure out how to do it using the existing banking system. So I think Apple's take is probably two things. One is use case wise, everybody sort of has ways they can pay each other now. And although would it be nice for everybody to have Apple Pay Cash, that's maybe not going to happen and it's fine. But the other thing is, the way this works is through the credit card system. Every one of these transactions is a credit card transaction, and it has fees attached to it. And a regular person has to like have a merchant account and sign up to accept credit cards. So I think that's the truth of it is they didn't want to mix these concepts. And you don't really need to be physically proximate. If you're eating dinner with your friends, you can just send them the cash using an app. I think that's the argument.
Yeah. Now it makes a lot of sense, right? Because I think, you know, Apple Cash does sort of make and it is, I'll have to clarify this. It is now called Apple Cash. They never really mentioned that. Yeah, they rebranded it like a year or two ago. But again, it's such a little, thing that.
Tim Cook's, he's on all the bills, but there are no bills, so it's okay.
That's right. He's on the 20, the 30, the 40. Yeah. Why there's a $30 bill?
I would like Apple Cash to be worldwide. To be clear, I would like Apple Cash to be worldwide because I exchange money with people in other countries.
Yes, that's the thing that
I'd like to send Mike money, or he can send me money, or whatever.
Yeah,
because I do use Apple Cash a lot. See how I switched? Yeah. And now it's just Apple Cash.
Yeah, there you go. Just seamless.
Everybody was calling it that anyway. I mean, they might as well call it the...
It was such a... Yeah, exactly. It was a mouthful to say Apple
Cash. The iWatch.
Call
it the iWatch.
Yeah. So, but I agree with you that it would be great if they made that end run where it's like, oh, I need to send, you know, $20 to somebody over in the UK or in Europe or in Japan. I don't know. And there's just no... You know, you got to go through the PayPal or Venmo hoops. And there's international, there's currency fluctuations, all that stuff. So, and I guess they decided we're not going to roll it out in other countries because if we... They have the, as you said, they have the alternatives and we're opening a can of worms if we roll it out and you can't exchange stuff internationally.
I feel like the reason they would, that would prompt them to roll it out anywhere would be if they roll out Apple Card anywhere else because
the
cash back is all in Apple Cash so that might be it's interesting. I mean, this is when how does Apple work when it collides with the financial industry, and the answer is better than I think you might expect. It's actually gone pretty well. Apple Pay really did, like, I mean, again, I know that there were contactless in other parts of the world, and let's not talk about that for a second. There was contactless attempts here in the U.S. They all failed. I remember, and I know I've told this story before, but I got a card right before a World Series game when they were accepting contactless payments. There was this whole thing of like, we're going to do tap to pay at the World Series. And it was like, you could tap your card. And then they took it back. They literally like, we're sending you a new card. And it didn't have the chip on it. And they're like, we have clearly stopped. Like, they gave up. Apple Pay comes in and really is the reason that everybody rolled into contactless payment. And now most places in the U.S. have contactless payment. In fact,
I had the
You go to restaurants, and I've been to some restaurants outside restaurants because I'm not really into going inside of a restaurant yet, but I've been to some places with patios that have expanded outside, and I've seen those wireless payment terminals that I only ever had seen in Europe or Canada. Yeah. And now people have those too, so it really has spurred. And now it's everything, right? Including every credit card now has contactless. Again, they're all of them are going to have contactless.
I had that this year where I got a new card, and then like 2 weeks later, they sent me one. Like,
or tap to pay, whatever you want to call it.
A contactless tap to pay thing. And you literally sent me a card 2 weeks ago.
Well, they're like,
going on?
People aren't using our credit cards because they're using Apple Pay. Right. What do we do? And the answer is we got to put the chip back in the card. That's what we got to do. So Apple's colliding with the banking industry in the U.S. at least, seems to be the thing that actually jogged all that. That's my thesis anyway, that the thing that finally kind of gave it enough of a push that everybody's like, all right, we'll give you your contactless, and everybody had to upgrade all their terminals, which takes years to do, but it seems
it's finally happened.
I mean, I
do find the very few places I go these days where tap to pay is not an option.
I know it's surprising when I find
even
it now.
Jason, I gotta say, even the I filled up my car this morning in advance of our road trip, and even our local gas station has Apple Pay.
Yeah,
I love it.
The answer is it's basically when things get like if you've got something that's simple to replace, it's replaced already. But there's some places where they've already got a terminal and they don't want to deal with it, and it's like you're out in the middle of the desert at a gas station in the mini mart of a gas station buying some soda, and they're like, look, all I've got is this thing from 15 years ago with a swipe to pay. So you got to do that. I'm like, all right. Or like a big vending machine that was built before this. And so you like I bought some stamps yesterday, and that vending machine has a chip reader in it, because that was the other part of this, is like the chip reader and the tap to pay all kind of happened simultaneously, and it spurred this whole new set of hardware. But that vending machine for the stamps only does the chip to pay. It does not do tap to pay because it just missed it by that much. And they're not going to take that thing out of service. It's going to be there forever, so it's not going to accept that. But it's like edge cases. But most places at this point in the U.S. that I have been to, it's an option. So they really kind of flipped it over there.
I really appreciate it. I mean, I feel like the places I see that don't have it are places that just don't take credit cards, period, at this point.
Sure. Well,
like,
they should get an iPhone with tap to pay on it.
Hey,
then
the opportunity is coming.
Yeah. There are places like Apple Cash and the Apple Card where Apple, I think, has run into issues with the financial industry and the complexities of it. But they've navigated it better than I expected them to.
Yeah, agreed.
We should talk about AirTags. Yes.
Speaking of navigating things.
Yes, the other thing is, welcome back to our podcast, What's Happening in Apple Newsroom this week, where we dissect media releases made by Apple. Anyway, they did a little AirTag page. I tried to summarize it on 6 colors because it goes on a lot. It is spinning and damage controlling and announcing things all in one big complicated press release. But if I can, and you can tell me whether I'm missing nuance here or not, but my short version of it is Apple wants to remind you that it's working with law enforcement for abuse of AirTags, and that tracking people without their permission is a crime, and that Apple can say who it was who tracked somebody without permission. So don't do it, bad people.
We're watching you.
Two, there's a thing that's freaking people out where AirPod cases are being reported as an unknown accessory is traveling with you, and they're going to fix that because it's just AirPod cases, and they're going to say your AirPods are traveling with you and it's okay. And then three, we're going to do an update, Apple says, that will make it you'll be warned about unwanted nearby AirTags faster and in a more easy manner than before, so that you will be able to detect something that might be in your possession that is tracking you faster, and that they're going to do that in an update. So they're really sort of saying, like, we're against this, it's bad, we're working with law enforcement, we're making some changes to make you not freak out about things you shouldn't freak out about, and we're going to warn you faster if you've got an AirTag with you that you don't want there, including sounds and stuff like that. So that's the big update. But they're really, it's interesting because they're trying to be like, they're trying to say, we were working on it. We know there are issues. I've seen some takes out there that are like, I can't believe Apple didn't anticipate this would be an issue. It's like Apple totally anticipated it, but they didn't do enough. Like they didn't think of it quite in detail as much as they could, because they did take, I mean, the AirTags have a structure to them guided to try and prevent abuse, but they didn't do a good enough job.
Right. And they've sort of refined stuff a few times, both, yeah, like they talked about this a little bit after they came out. I wonder if this is one of the big reasons that it took so long between us hearing that these things existed and them actually getting released, was that, you know, it was, they were like, well, we still don't have exactly what we need to know. You know, like we still haven't done everything yet to figure out what all the possibilities are. I think this is mostly good. It will be interesting to see how it's received and both how it works out in practice, because what's prompting this in part right now is that there have been a slew of stories about people finding AirTags and AirTags being used to track people and or like be used to steal cars and stuff like this. And even if they aren't as widespread, and Apple makes that point early on, they're like, there are relatively few cases of this, but even that is too much. You know, even in that case, I think Apple is trying to say essentially like, look, it doesn't happen very much, but we want to ensure that it's happening even less. And I think that dealing with the optics of it is the issue, because even if it isn't happening very often, if these one or two cases make it to the news, right, and are in the newspapers and local news stories, film at 11, people being tracked by AirTags, it's bad. It's bad for Apple, especially for a company like Apple, which puts such a premium on privacy and security. So these are good steps. I'm curious to see how they get received. I think the algorithmic stuff is potentially the most interesting, because this is the place where Apple feels like it can potentially, you know, bring its technological expertise to bear. Anybody can put up a dialogue box that's like, don't do it, we're watching you.
Yep.
And that's great for a disincentive. I'm not sure it will stop, you know, the most determined people, obviously. But it will certainly probably get some people to think twice about it. But yeah, being able to sort of detect the ones around you and find out, you know, find them and being able to like turn those over to the law enforcement authorities and stuff, I think that's going to make a bigger deal. And removing, I hadn't seen that unknown accessory thing. I feel like I definitely see my AirPods get because I think I have the, when I leave my AirPods behind, I get a message.
Yeah.
Although even that's not great. Like I will definitely drive places and be like, you left your AirPods. I'm like, no, I'm pretty sure they're in my backpack.
I turned it off eventually, but that loner, MacBook Pro that I had, I would leave the house and it'd be like, you left your MacBook Pro behind. I'm like, yeah, it's my house. It's fine. But you can set it and you can set a radius and it's okay. But it is funny when you get one of those when you're not intending it. And it's like, why? Why did you leave me?
I'm so sad.
I have a life outside of you, Apple accessory.
Yeah. But I mean, AirTags is definitely one of those things that's it's such a weird product
for a bunch
of reasons, because like, you know, it took so long to come out, people knew it existed, and then it came out, and then they immediately had to start doing damage control on it, and part of me wonders if Apple was just like, this was not worth it.
Yeah, I mean, the technology is great for your expensive, like, it should be in all your
phones, the AirPods, the Macs, yes,
Apple TV remotes, right, with an NFC chip, so you can do it, or not an NFC chip, but UWB chip, so you can get it precise, right? Like, it's a great idea to have it to find your Apple stuff, and they're like, and we'll sell a tag so that you can put that, and it turns out the tag is the problem. Like, the tag is the problem, because it's like, anything can be on Find My, and like, the tag is big, which is nice, but it's also still can be used for stalking people. And also, one piece of analysis I saw this week that I thought was pretty good is, it's sort of Apple saying, all right, look, this product is not for finding stolen items. It's going to let the person who stole the thing know that it's got a tag on it. It's really more for recovering lost items. Right. And that's true. I mean, you can still use it that way. My son's bike has an AirTag on it, and his bike hasn't been stolen, which is great. But I would hope that, one, the thieves even wouldn't notice, and two, if they did notice, they would be like, oh no, it's got a tracker on it, and then leave it somewhere.
Sure.
But it's not the primary purpose. The idea here is you find a lost something.
Right. Yeah.
Like a cat or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I mean, again, I agree with you 100%.
It's not meant for cats, by the way. Sorry.
Somebody's
writing in
dogs.
Saying it's not meant for... We have a cat next door who has a GPS tracker on him with an app, and I've seen the map, and he goes amazing places, but that's a product that's purpose-built for cats, not... Or maybe not for dogs, it's kind of large for a little cat, but don't do that. Anyway, sorry,
Dan. Cat tags, dog tags.
Yeah.
I think part of me does wonder if Apple was like debating whether or not to release this, and eventually was like, well, you know, we put the money into it, we built them, let's give it a whirl. And now maybe, you know, a year later is like, yeah, we kind of have to think about whether or not this is worth, are we getting enough out of this that it is worth all the grief that we're taking because of the fact that, like, look, it's never going to be perfect, right? Anybody determined to find a way around those restrictions is going to be able to do it. Hopefully that is a small number of people and we can, you know, again, disincentivize people from doing it, but it's never going to stop people who are determined to misuse technology in the same way that any other thing that's in there is not going to stop people who are really determined to misuse technology.
Well, that's the thing, is that there are lots of narratives about this. Oh, they just don't get it and they're not thinking about it and all that, which is not really true. But I think there's also this truth about how all this stuff is, like, technology fundamentally can be misused. And the goal of sure. anybody who's a technology company, you know, should be anticipating that as much as possible and mitigating it as much as possible. But you can't, I mean, if you don't do it, somebody else will. But, like, I think you can't not do things just because there might be some cases that where in which right. it's misused. You have to, at some point, say, "All right, this is what, you know, this is what we're doing, and it's going to be, you know, we've tried to stop all of the really bad stuff. But if somebody wants to put their iPhone in somebody's car in order to stalk them, and then use Find My to find out where their phone is, you know." Does that override the value of having right. Find My?
I saw a hot take the other Woo. Week. Yeah, it was super
you found
hot.
One on the internet. Wow.
Yeah, I know. Rare. When it was about people talking about the mask unlock in 15.4, and somebody was chiding people for getting excited about it, being like, "This is what they're going to use to track us at protests." And I was like, "All right, so let me unpack this a little bit for you. Like, this is." I understand your concerns, and I'm not even saying that you shouldn't have valid concerns about how facial recognition is used. You absolutely should. The technology that's going into Face ID at Apple is not the technology that's going to be used to track you at protests. It's not what it's designed to do. Doesn't mean somebody won't come up with another way. Like, if it can be built once, it can be built again. You're totally right about that. But, like, let's not rain on people's parades about, like, actually making life easier for them because of the possibility that somebody might invent something that then can be misused. That is kind of a, I don't know, that's a take I can miss.
Yeah. Yeah. But they're trying, right? It would not surprise me if this isn't a big seller, if they just kind of walk away from it at some point. But
sure, yeah.
But the Find My network's not going away. I mean, that's the truth of it, is that really, if you've got an object that uses the Find My network, you can do this. Like, it doesn't stop this issue. This issue is larger than any one device. Because, like I said, you could put your phone in somebody's car, and they wouldn't know it was there. And
tracking stuff, there have been, like, GPS trackers and, like, other things that have existed for a long time. The thing is, Apple made it consumer friendly, right?
Easy. Like, it just works.
Yep.
So they gotta work on that. But I thought it was interesting to watch that, read that statement, and see all the different things that they're trying to do in it. Because I've been watching a lot of curling in the Winter Olympics, and this is like a double takeout. This is like there's a lot of angles. You got to do a lot of angles, and you get the force exactly right in order to knock, like, two rocks out of the way with one shot. Like, it's hard, is what I'm saying, for those who don't know about curling. And you gotta have the geometry just right, and get the exact right touch. And that's what that PR statement is trying to do. I leave it to the judgment of everyone about how successful it was, because it does also remind everybody that AirTags has problems. So, that, you know, but they're trying to get ahead of this issue. So, yeah, not a lot else there. There's a rumor of an event. We, you know, what it is,
March 8th,
exactly clear, but March 8th is the date. So we'll have to keep an eye on that and see what happens.
Yep. Got a few weeks before we have a better, I'm sure there will be the usual rumors and reports. I'm sure Mark Gurman will have, like, three different stories about
exactly what's in it. Well, yeah, yep. I think Mike and I have been talking about this on Upgrade, that one of the things that I find fascinating is if you read Mark Gurman's reports carefully, you can get a sense, and this has always been true, you can get a sense of what he knows and what he doesn't know, and at what point he learned certain parts, because especially at Bloomberg, they're very diligent with this. So they make him say sort of like, in June, I reported that they were considering this, but he doesn't say they're considering that now. And I always thought that was interesting because it sort of suggests he doesn't have an update on that piece of information.
Right.
And so for this event, the thing that fascinates me is he talks about how that there are new iMacs coming this year. And that he's pretty sure that this event is going to have an iPhone SE and an update to the iPad Air and maybe other things and a Mac update of some sort, he says. And I read them and I think he doesn't know what's going on with the big iMac. Like he doesn't know. He knows maybe some details, but like he's really like he doesn't talk about it a lot and only in vague terms. Or if he does know, he can't say one of those. But I think he just doesn't know like that. He, for whatever reason, he doesn't have a vision into that product because he isn't saying it's not coming out in March, but he's also not saying it's coming out in June or late in the year. He's just sort of like, it's out there.
Well, similarly, I thought it was interesting that he did put the money down on March 8th because it's like, well, he could have said early March. He could have said like first 3 weeks of March. He could have said sometime in March or April, but like, he's not throwing a dart and saying March 8th. That's what my dart hit. You know, he's saying March 8th because he wouldn't say it unless he had a pretty high degree of confidence, I believe, that it was actually happening on that date. Because why open yourself up to that if you're kind of like, well, it could be March 8th, could be March 15th. I don't know. It could be April 12th or whatever. I don't know.
So exactly.
I feel there's a pretty good chance that's happening, but interesting to figure out. What else might be in the offing there?
Mm-hmm. Indeed. All right. Well, we'll be back next. You going anywhere? You're not going anywhere. We'll be back next week. For the weekend, but then you'll be back.
Yeah, I will be back. I am actually going, Jason. I'm going to a conference next week, but yes, it's in my local. It's in my neighborhood.
Oh,
it's my usual BossCon science fiction.
Oh,
convention.
I see.
But I'll be around on
all
Friday.
Right. So. Okay. Not and then I'm going on vacation the following week, so I don't know what we're going to do then. Gonna have to.
Well, maybe I'll have a show.
Maybe you can get a guest or something.
Ooh,
maybe exciting. That'd be exciting. Well, but we'll be back next week to talk about it. Thank you for subscribing to Six Colors. We really appreciate it. Thanks to everybody who took the survey. It was delightful to see that so many people like the podcast. Because remember, the podcast wasn't originally even part of the membership. We didn't have a podcast, and I thought it would be fun for us to do one since we're known for doing podcasts. And it's, I like it. People seem to like it. And the survey suggests that people like it and listen to it, or maybe they hate it and listen to it, but they value it in some, for some reason and listen to it.
Listens.
So we appreciate that. And we're still trying to figure out, some new stuff, for Six Colors membership. And we're not close to announcing that yet, but we're working on it. But it was very helpful for all that feedback. I felt like it was telling me things that I already kind of intuited, but it was really nice to find out that my guesses about what people were valuing were pretty close to what people are valuing. I appreciate that. Thank you for reinforcing my assumptions, is what I'm saying. But no, I think I got a good read on it, so that's great. I appreciate that. And that's it. So bye, Dan.
Bye, Jason.